Okay, so we're taking a popcorn break in the Last Picture Show, and we're about, what, an even hour into
that.
The film now, and the first really interesting thing has happened,
yep.
And unfortunately, it marks the death of the one character that I actually give a shit about.
the only interesting character.
Yeah, pretty much. So far, the only interesting character is the old dude who seems to be the moral center of the town, and well, now he's dead.
Shit.
Well, I don't know what we're gonna do about that. Well, after this, we'll take you back to the beginning of the show, and we'll see you in another hour or so.
Yeah, about an hour.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And now we finished the Last Picture Show.
Oh, good God.
Which will not be the Last Picture Show that we watch.
Yep.
As this is number 94.
Okay, so this movie was interesting.
How so?
Well, okay,
Tell me about it.
Well, this whole movie seemed to be centered around the idea of these two guys, Jeff Bridges and what was the name of the other actor?
Timothy Bottoms.
That's kind of based around the idea that these two guys playing high school seniors are kind of starting a new chapter in their life. And it's the final days of high school, and which we never actually see them go to classes or
actually no, they were in a class.
There was okay, yes, yeah. There was one class. But
with John Hillerman.
Yes, there was. And there was a gym class, which started this...
That was basketball practice.
Was it basketball practice?
Were you watching the same movie as I was?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. But yeah, there was basketball practice, but it was just... It's a weird movie. Because, you know, the well, I mean, I guess the last movie I saw with Do the Right Thing, that took place over the course of one day... So, you know, that was weird for me. Cause,
yeah, this
you know.
This movie does have a little bit a longer time span. It's a full year from early winter to early winter,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of things happen. So, okay, so, yeah, that was one of the things that you noticed early on, that the time shifts are odd. That
yeah.
Suddenly it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Because, oh, there's a Santa on the door.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of holding their coats together. Because it's cold,
yeah.
But it's black and white. There's no snow on the ground. There's no other indication.
It's a black and white
there's
movie
a whistling,
in Texas.
There's a whistling wind throughout.
Is that what winter in Texas is? It's just the absence of heat
in a lot of places. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like deep space.
Oh. Okay.
Right. No, it's not.
No, not really. Not really. No, that you don't know. You don't understand how space works, do you?
I really don't.
Yeah. All right.
All I know is space is big and space is dark, and it's hard to find a place to park.
Well, let's save that for 2001: A Space Odyssey. anyway, but this movie was about these two guys who are kind of starting a new life, a new chapter in their life.
Right.
And it was honestly, you know, as someone who just graduated from high school, it was kind of like.
Did you find yourself connecting with any of these young characters? Did you find yourself? Kind of getting where they were coming from, as it were?
I was kind of connecting with Sonny, the main character, a little bit, in the sense that, you know, he's...
You're having an affair with a 45-year-old woman?
Well, it's not The Graduate, is it? Which, another thing, is that subplot is like, wow, this is literally The Graduate. This is the entire plot of The Graduate.
No, well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit. Well, he's seduced by an older woman in The Graduate, but we're not talking about The Graduate. The Last Picture Show,
yeah.
Peter Bogdanovich's 1971 film, mm-hmm. about 1951.
Yes, 20 years before.
Right. And ostensibly this film is about the last movie shown in a theater, mm-hmm. in a small town in Texas.
Which happens in the last 20 minutes of the movie.
It does indeed, yes.
Yeah.
So we start with the classic... Texas pastime of football.
Yes, which we never see.
It's referred to It's spoken about, but we don't see it until late in the film, and it's just a snippet of a game.
Yeah, they're not even wearing helmets. They're just
well, it's
because
they're just warming up before the game.
Yeah,
at that point. But okay, so Sonny is all right. Okay, so Sonny is played by Timothy Bottoms, and Jeff Bridges plays Dwayne.
Yep.
They're friends.
Yes.
Dwayne is dating JC, who is played by Cybill Shepherd.
Yes.
And Sonny really likes JC, but doesn't really have the guts to ask her out.
Good
mostly because his friend is dating her at this point. But he definitely crushes on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sonny is dating another girl whom he sees at the movies.
Yes.
And they go parking in his truck.
Yeah.
And then he breaks up with her.
Yes.
After a year of dating, apparently. They've been going steady for a year, she says.
On the year. All right. For a year tonight.
So, Sonny wants JC. JC wants Dwayne. Dwayne wants JC. So, that seems to be working out.
Yeah.
And nobody wants this other girl. Okay. So, Sonny is introduced to Ruth, played by Cloris Leachman, who won an Academy Award for her performance in this film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
And okay. I would say, that's deserved. She has some fine moments.
Mm-hmm.
This whole film is essentially, when it all gets boiled down at the end, it's a message movie wrapped in a soap opera.
Yeah.
And smothered with malaise.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
Because this film is as much about a dying town and the people in it who have sort of given up.
Yeah.
Who are just sort of waiting for everything to die around them.
Hey.
Well,
yeah,
they are.
You're right. You are right.
You know, when we broke for popcorn earlier, the one interesting character in the film
who had everything entertaining in that town.
Well, yeah, he owned the pool hall, he owned the restaurant, and he owned the movie theater.
Yep, and they were all right next to each other.
And then he died.
Yep.
So the restaurant he gave to Genevieve,
who was the sassy waitress.
The sassy waitress, yes.
Yeah.
Who, I guess, was continuing to operate it.
Yes.
But the movie show closed down.
Yeah. Which, for inexplicably, I mean, they were...
Well, as in the last few moments of the film, the woman said, nobody's coming to the movie shows anymore. They've got baseball in the summer, and they've got TV all the time. So nobody goes to the movies anymore.
So wait, let me see if I got this straight. This whole movie is a message about no one goes to the movies anymore?
Yes.
Fuck you, movie. I'm done. Nope. Fuck this movie. Nope. Nope.
Okay. So, Christmas time rolls around.
Oh, yeah.
And we're introduced to Randy Quaid, who is playing... I don't even remember his
Lenny
name
Lenny something. Yeah,
was it Lenny? Okay.
He's just a...
Or Larry.
His character was just... Was he just there to serve as like an antagonist for Jeff Bridges? Because
he was there to serve as Lester. Lester. He was there to serve to show, I think, or give some impetus to JC's awakening as a person who uses sex or starts to use sex to get what she wants, to manipulate.
Yeah.
She already knows that she can get Dwayne to do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And now she sees that there's this other guy that's interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, you know what? I'm gonna make Dwayne jealous.
Yes.
So get him all riled up.
That's a good idea.
Then I'm going to go with Lester to this other party where the rich kids are.
Yep.
So there's that. Additionally, there was that earlier scene where her mother tells her that she needs to use sex.
Yes, go find
as a way to lure a rich man, a rich boy, or whatever, in. So she's going to go to college. She's going to marry herself a rich kid.
Yep.
And be set because she's not mean enough to her mother. Her mother tells her she's not mean enough to force a guy
to get rich.
That is, like she did.
Yeah.
Her mother forced her father to get rich because she was mean.
Wait.
Her own words.
Yeah, I know, so, but you gotta admit,
all about the manipulation.
Yeah, she walked into her room.
Soap opera.
She was drunk. I mean, very obviously.
Oh, yes.
Like,
There's nothing to do in this, you know.
There's nothing to do in
theater,
the town.
One theater, one restaurant, one pool hall town.
Yeah, except watch TV, baseball, and drink.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
So she took the drinking part.
Speaking of drinking.
Yes.
We all need to go to Mexico and get hats with Mexico written on them. Because that's all they have there.
Well, that's how we know that they went.
Oh. Right. Oh, okay.
They don't have to actually show them being in Mexico, so they didn't have to do any second unit work.
I thought it was.
They didn't have to find any burrows.
Okay.
They didn't have to stamp any passports. They just drove it, and they come back. Time has passed, and they're obviously feeling the effects.
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, it's like
so. Yeah. So, JC goes to this pool party, and in order to join the club, she must strip on the diving board in front of everybody.
And
there's this little kid in the pool. There's like a 12-year-old in the pool swimming around with a mask.
Yeah,
which
pops
okay,
up a couple of times.
Different time, different whatever. Just seriously, come on.
That whole scene just felt
weird.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's what the 70s were all about, son.
Jesus Christ. Stop. No. No more 70s. We're done here. Well, it's like the scene, and you got Randy Quaid in the background just sitting there completely stark naked.
Oh, that's right.
Standing there smiling at you.
But he's smiling. And he's that goofy Randy Quaid grin on his...
And the haircut.
And the hair.
He looks like a wild man.
But he was obviously covering himself up for the photo. All the guys had their crotches either discreetly covered with their arms with a crossed arm, or they were turned so that their legs were up over their junk. One guy had a plant. But that was, you know, it's like, oh, I see. The women, full frontal.
Yeah.
Bang. Just,
yeah.
You know, whatever that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, everybody's okay. got, oh.
Well, it was the 70s. So.
Everybody had their tits out in this movie. Seriously. Everyone got their tits out. It was ridiculous.
Well, except for Cloris Leachman. She did not.
And she was.
But she got naked underneath the covers.
Exactly.
Right.
Everybody got naked.
That's true.
Kind of ridiculous.
There was a lot of nakedness in this.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be, the message there is supposed to be that everybody's bored all the time. Even the rich kids in Texas, in the nearby town of Wichita Falls, are bored. And when you're bored, you just start knocking it out. That's why, you know, they need the movies.
Yes.
Because TV apparently isn't enough to keep people.
They got color TV.
Indeed.
And
but
it's
they still
not
aren't satisfied.
Satisfied.
That's right. So, okay. So, the coach, who is, and this is where we start Timothy Bottoms, Sonny's story.
Yeah.
The coach of the basketball team, who also is the coach of the football team, sends Sonny to his house to take his wife
negligent
to the
Hudson.
Doctor.
Just not a great guy.
Negligent husbandry.
Yeah.
Take his wife to the doctor.
Yep.
And say, okay, do this for me and I'll get you out of civics class. That's how they meet up.
Which translate for a young gentleman, what is civics class?
Civics class, it'd be like government class.
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Right. So you learn about the Constitution, you learn about the Declaration of Independence, you learn about state laws and legislatures and all that stuff and how that works.
I understand.
You got it now?
Okay, yes.
So it's like a government class.
Yeah, yes.
They just don't call it civics now. Same thing.
I gathered.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Moving on.
So you can see why he wants to be not in that class.
Okay.
Right.
All right,
okay.
I guess.
So there you go. All right. So he takes the guy's wife. They sort of hook up at the Christmas party. They're outside by the... She asks him to help clean up the paper cups. That leads him to be outside in the cold in the by the trash cans.
No, not cold. Absence of heat. Because it's a Texas winter.
Oh, okay. We're still on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to rant on that a lot.
Okay.
Anyway,
So they're dumping the trash cans into the other trash cans into the main trash can, and that of course leads to the perfect opportunity to have themselves a kiss.
Yes,
but there is a flashing light from a car that approaches, and she says, "No, we must not be seen here."
Yes.
So later, at some point, again, another time jump.
It's 6 months later, yes.
I don't know if it's that long. It's, you know, it's maybe a couple of days.
Yeah.
He shows up at her house. The coach is nowhere to be found.
Yes.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Because he's gone a lot with the basketball and the football.
Yeah.
And they jump into bed.
Mm-hmm.
And
after a really weird, like, stripping down scene. Like, again.
Yeah.
Again with the stripping down is like, this is weird.
Okay. Yeah. So there's that. And then, after they have sex, we go to another scene that jumps another few days or weeks or something, and now JC is approaching the rich kid who owns the house, or whose parents own the house.
Yeah.
In his kitchen at another pool party. Where they're not in the pool this time, they're just hanging around the pool, listening to the 45s, the stack of 45s.
That's how
you made a playlist in those days. You had to stack up a bunch of 45s and play them, and they would drop down. And then when the last one finished, you'd have to flip the whole stack over, and you'd listen to the B-side of everything.
That sounds really hard. I don't think I can do that.
it's a lot of work to get your music on.
No kidding. Yes. No kidding.
Yes.
Man.
So she looks around for this guy, mm-hmm. finds him in the kitchen.
Yep.
He asks her if...
No. Let's not gloss over this. As she approaches... And it's just like they have a scene, and then he sticks his hand out and crotch stop. It's like, what?
He not just bang like smacking her. He puts his hand out. There's a one shot on his hand to establish where it is, and she literally walks into his hand and bumps him.
Oh, I woke up and there was this crotch in my hand. What? What does that mean? What is that?
Right. Okay. What it means is he's asking her if she's ready to go.
Uh-huh.
She's saying, well, you know, maybe, by bumping into him.
Uh-huh.
And then he asks her, are you a virgin? To which she says, yes. And he says...
That's a shame.
That's a shame. Come back when you're not a virgin anymore.
What? What the fuck?
So...
The 50s are weird.
So... This is what spurs her to finally do with Wayne what she has told her mother she's not going to do, but what her mother has already told her she should be doing.
They never come back to that either. So
they never come back. Yeah, that's true. They never do. They do a little bit. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh God.
So. JC sets up a motel stay with Dwayne.
Yep.
He comes in. This is when he's just been to Mexico.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
he's
right.
Got,
so
he's got,
they went to Mexico
with like $80
with $70 and then some extra money from Sam the Lion.
Yes.
You know, just for insurance. Because money turns into liquid down there.
they
come back from Mexico with their hangovers and their hats, their straw hats with Mexico written on the front of them.
It's like a brand, but
they're complaining that they don't have any more Tums to help with their stomach problems.
Tums don't cure hangovers.
That's right, and so they get back. He immediately goes to the motel after they find out that Sam has died.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Is like
They're gone for 4 days. He's dead. He died yesterday. They're going to have to close it. They get this information from Old Man Exposition.
Yes.
Who is literally sitting with his feet out. I mean, I stopped the film while we were watching it. I paused it and said, huh, it's like now we're in the science fiction section of this film.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because like, it was these two guys are gone for a couple of days. They come back. The entire town is deserted.
Yeah.
There's literal tumbleweeds blowing through. Which
well, it is Texas. Kind of, so.
The wind is kind of, you know, this ubiquitous noise throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
So they come back. There's nobody around. The cafe's closed.
Yep.
The movie theater's closed.
All the windows are broken.
All the windows. Every window in town is cracked. So obviously something came and stamped the ground or something. So it's this weird, like, I don't remember an alien invasion in this film. So
but,
maybe it's just a virus. But they walk across the street and they find a dude sitting in the front seat of his car with his boots sticking
yes,
out
yes.
the window. Because he's just laying there waiting to give them some information about.
And he apparently memorized the will, or he was there at the reading.
That's right,
seriously.
Yeah. It was the damnedest thing about the will. They gave the thing to you, and they gave the other thing to this.
They gave $1,000
to that preacher's son. He was a weird one. I don't know what else. He could have given it to me.
I would have done something with it.
Right.
Who asked you?
Well, they did.
Apparently,
they asked him
yeah.
what was going on, so he told them.
Yeah.
But
funerals
it's just
tomorrow.
Kind of a weird exposition
yep.
thing. And so Dwayne goes off to have sex with JC.
Yeah.
He can't make it work, and she starts attacking him.
Yes.
She starts yelling at him about, well, you know, it was that Mexico trip. It was all this stuff.
My mother
was right about you. I never should have done anything. Like, well, geez.
It's like,
no wonder he can't perform.
I don't know what's going on. The other thing is that he kept saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I'm putting on my shirt. I don't know what's going on. I'm walking out the door.
And
I don't know what's going on.
The best part is that when she says, don't you tell anybody what happened.
Yeah.
He opens the door, and her two best girlfriends are sitting in a car right in front of the
leering.
Door.
They're leering.
They're like staring the door open.
Hi, I'm going to stare
and
at you.
And Sonny is waiting three parking spaces away in a car waiting for him.
Yeah.
So everybody they know knows something has happened.
And I like how Sonny is sitting there with his, you know, his head against the glass, just smiling like a dope. That was my favorite part. He's just sitting there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, JC,
yeah.
because she wants to sleep with or get with the rich kid,
I'm assuming,
has lost her virginity to Dwayne.
Yeah.
This sort of pulls some sort of a ripcord on the, hey, I can control men thing. So we next see her
yep.
after she's broken up with Dwayne. They try a couple more times.
Yeah.
And she's apparently not happy with
that. That was a great scene.
On.
They were singing the alma mater while they were graduating. I can do it. I swear I can do it.
I'll be all right this time. It'll be fine. Let's do that again. So she knows she's getting the positive reinforcement that she needs to know that what she's doing is the right thing because obviously he's ready to go again. So
pretty much.
Okay. So all of this comes around again and
She turns into this monster because like she's broken up with him.
She breaks up with him, and then the roughneck,
yeah.
the oil rig guy,
yeah.
who somehow manages he works for her dad,
yes,
and is obviously sleeping with her mom.
That's kind of
or her mom wants to sleep
yeah,
with the guy.
Wants to
I don't
get
know
that.
If it's suggested. It's kind of he shows up at her house.
Yeah, like walks in
like, and takes his hat off and he's like, "Hey, how you? I was expecting your mom to be here."
Yeah.
So she says, "You know what? I want to go to the pool hall. It's terrible what girls aren't allowed to do in this town."
Yeah, apparently.
And he takes her to the pool hall.
Yeah.
Then puts her on the pool table and has a very motionless, very, very motionless sex with her. She's grabbing the
the baskets.
The rails.
Yeah.
And the baskets. And holding on for dear life, like she's being nailed to the table. And he's literally just... I'm sitting here thinking, well, okay, maybe it's something about sex scenes in the 70s or sex scenes in the 50s or some. But then I thought, no, wait. Because when Sonny and Ruth got together, the bed springs were bouncing. And they're obviously, there's some action going on there.
A lot of crying, too.
When Dwayne and JC got together, there was movement. There was, you know, there was this was literally the guy was, she was moving around. The guy was motionless.
Plop. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so there you go.
Huh.
She gets home and essentially confesses to her mother by saying, this guy's no good. Her
mother
knows.
Mommy, I hit that.
Exactly. And she's very sad about that. And her mother is pissed.
Of course.
Because apparently she missed her opportunity to hit that.
Yep.
Or maybe she didn't.
I don't.
And now she's thinking of the consequences of that.
Okay. This weird movie is weird.
Yep. Plus also, the guy from Wichita Falls is now married.
What?
You missed that?
No, I thought it was Lenny or Gary.
No. Lester is out of the picture.
It's like, oh, yeah, where did Lester go?
Yeah, Lester figured out that he couldn't open her shirt, so she dumped
the buttons
him.
Are decorative, you dipshit.
So it's, I mean, okay, so we have, this is a huge soap opera thing going on, and everybody still just doesn't give a shit about anything that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows that Sonny is hitting is with Ruth.
And with no repercussions either. It's like the
coach literally walks up to Sonny and the guy that he's talking to and doesn't say, I mean, maybe it's just he's ignoring him because he doesn't even acknowledge that he's there.
Yeah.
He was the team captain the year before. But just literally walks up to the guy, says, you know, Let's stretch those chains out because we wouldn't want anybody to cheat, and then walks off. Right. So there is some acknowledgement, but it's weird, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody tells him it's a bad idea. Nobody tells him that's, you know.
Jeff Bridges really, even asked him, "You still fucking that old lady?
Are you still fucking that old lady?" And he's like, "Nah, not really."
What?
Which is a very 18, 19 year old kind of reaction. Like, no, I'm over that. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine, but it's like. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have that. JC and Sonny now.
Yeah.
Because she knows.
Oh, yes.
That he was always in love with her.
Did she?
She knows this.
Okay.
Well, no, she didn't, but she's now realized that she can manipulate. She's like, oh, hey, dude, boom.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah.
So she and Sonny get together.
Yeah.
They drive out to the fish tank, which is a big open space with water in it.
That's a fish tank.
And turtles, no fishing.
Yeah.
They drive out, and he's all up in her shirt, and some extremely passionless kissing in the... I mean, and this is, you know, it's 1971. We got, you know, 50 years worth of on-screen kissing that are remarkable to draw from. And Cybill Shepherd is a fucking fish. It's like, is there any life in this character? There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's she closes her eyes and tilts her head, and then...
Opens her mouth slightly, and then...
Gurk. Just, you can see her jaw muscles... tightening up on this. And okay, so maybe it's her first film. Maybe she, you know, she's...
No, this whole movie was just awkward.
It was not everybody's first film.
It was not everybody's first film.
It was a little awkward, yes.
Yeah, the whole movie was just awkward.
Yeah. Now, there is something to be said... Okay, let's before we jump ahead to the next thing, we got now Sonny and JC have hooked up, and they decide to get married.
What?
Yeah,
they do.
Just right out of the blue. She comes to the pool hall. Hey, let's get married.
And he's okay with this.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's
go. Forward. Let's do it.
Yep.
And
basically.
Drive, and they drive to Oklahoma.
They drive to Oklahoma get married.
So I have no concept. Why do they drive to Oklahoma?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Okay.
It probably had something to do with their age or something. But they're both graduated now.
Yeah.
They're both out of school, so they're obviously 18-ish.
Ish.
You know. So they're adults.
Yeah.
There may have been something. I don't know. So they go to Oklahoma to get married. They're on their way to their honeymoon motel.
Yes.
They get pulled over by an Oklahoma State trooper.
Yeah.
Who says, "Follow me. We're going to go find out there's people that are looking for you." Which is what JC wants.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, she sets up this whole thing so that he gets in trouble. She's made a point to her parents.
Yeah.
Who pack her up and send her off to college.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that, you know, she set this up for attention and... she got it. And there was no... That's the other thing. There was no repercussions to the actions that
she went to college.
Yeah,
they sent her to college. And he didn't...
not a punishment, though.
Were they still married at the end of the film?
I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know either. I don't know either.
Maybe they did.
Because by this time... Jeff Bridges. I guess we skipped over the part where Jeff Bridges had decided to become a roughneck in another town.
Yes.
And then he came back to town and found out that that Sonny and JC were dating around.
Yeah.
His words, dating around. You're dating around. You're dating around.
Dating around.
Exactly.
And you're not a good cocksmith too.
And exactly, I know you're not sleeping with her because you're not a good cocksman.
Which I'm going to start using now because that is the most fantastic
word. As long as you use it properly,
I'm going to.
So we have that, and he crushes a bottle, literally crushes a bottle, not candy glass, blash, you know, bash the whole thing.
That would have been cool.
He actually has the hand, it's like the bottle was glued to his hand,
and he
pushes it onto the side of his face, and then it smooshes.
Yes.
So, all right, so a little bit of bad special effects or something.
This was an independent film, wasn't it?
I guess.
Because it said in the trailer, because we watched the trailer right before we started the movie, that it was the New York Film Festival selection, official selection.
Right, but I don't think it was an independent film in the sense that you think of an independent film today.
Where it's sent to a film festival and selected.
Somebody,
and
like, makes a film. I think this is a little bit more studio-ish.
Okay.
But
all right.
Anyway, it just struck me as a weird, they're having a fist fight and a... He baps him on. He literally slaps him on the side of the head
with a bottle,
and it kind of just smushes in his hand instead of breaking or whatever.
Yeah.
So just
he walks around with an eye patch.
He has an eye patch on his eye for a good
20 minutes
or so.
Yeah.
And then we get back to him going to Cloris Leachman to Ruth and saying after Billy the.
The simple-minded
boy gets hit by a truck.
Yeah.
The second death in the film, and the only other character in this film that I actually gave a shit about, because he was interesting. He never said a word.
Yeah.
He was always carrying a broom around.
They flipped his hat back every time, and that made him smile.
They didn't really screw with him, except there was one scene where they decided to get Billy out of his virginity.
Yeah. This is why you should never, ever try to get your friend laid, because you're just going to end up with him having a broken nose and you kicked out of the pool hall.
That's exactly right. So, you know, we have Billy at the end of near the end of the film is hit by a truck.
Yes.
Right after Jeff Bridges leaves for Korea.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to Korea now.
And he'll be back in a couple of years if he doesn't get shot.
Which I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
But he gets hit by a truck, and then this crowd of, like, older guys just, like, stands around and was basically talking like they had just hit a cow or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never did
have any sense. He was just a simple boy.
Yeah, it wasn't good for much. I want to know why I had that broom.
Why did he have that broom? Because he was sleeping, you goddamn bastards.
He was sweeping, you goddamn... Hey, anybody want to go get breakfast? I haven't eaten yet today. It's like, what the fuck?
Guy, well, there you go.
You just saw a man die. A child die. Hit by truck.
Yep.
Not good.
Yep.
And you want to get breakfast.
You know.
Okay.
Well, it was exciting for a few minutes, and then it wasn't anymore because the kid was dead.
Yeah, it's...
That's how boring this town is. They're throwing kids in front of trucks.
Oh.
For entertainment.
Jesus Christ.
Not even for very long-term entertainment.
Yeah. This movie, it felt... bad watching this movie. I mean, it wasn't... I connected with Sonny for a little bit because, you know, I'm doing the year off thing and all that stuff, but I really didn't care about many of the characters. And, you know, it was difficult for me to even connect with Sam the Lion, but, you know, he was interesting.
He was at least interesting to watch. He had something to say.
I wanted to know
He talked more about his life and what had gone on in his life.
Yeah.
Than anyone else in the film.
Yeah.
Than anyone else that was even, you know, a couple people had the opportunity
to tell their stories,
and they really didn't. Then Cloris Leachman has a very good scene at the end of the film when Sonny comes back to see her after Billy has died.
I think that might have been the scene that got her the Oscar.
It was definitely the scene. And the one where she spent the time repapering the bedroom.
Yeah, but
with
the new wallpaper, that's like
and then she sits in her dress.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a basic like scorned lover kind of scene though, isn't it?
Certainly. Yeah.
But
she played it.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
But the main
She has that scene at the end of the film where she says, essentially, you dumped me for JC, just like you would have dumped Billy, who's dead now.
Yeah.
You know, your friend, I'm supposed to feel bad for you because you feel bad that your friend got killed.
Yeah.
But you'd have dropped him for JC too. And she really, I mean, it's pretty poignant.
Yeah.
And then right at the very end, she changes her mind.
Yep.
She just, bloop.
There.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
The fade out, the town in panorama, just the main street with the restaurant, the closed movie theater.
And it fades to black on the closed theater.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that was the end.
That was the movie.
Yeah. Now, one of the interesting things about this film that we've just spent the last, half an hour or so kind of poking fun at, which... Really, come on.
Yeah.
It's a friggin' soap opera.
The 50s were weird.
Right, but, okay, so Bogdanovich made this film in 1970.
Yes.
1971, okay. And what he showed, or what he did in this film, is he made a film made in 1951.
Yes.
So, not only does the film itself have this nostalgic feel, because it's a film about nostalgia. It's a film about, you know, longing for the past in some cases. Like, you know, Sam spends a lot of time talking about how things were. They go to the tank, and he talks about this young girl he took out here, and she wanted to swim the horses across the tank, and she beat him, and you know all that stuff, and then she just kind of
faded out of
his life. So. You know, that kind of stuff. So there's that nostalgia. There's the nostalgia for the theater itself, where they talk briefly about how the theater is closed down because nobody's interested in going to movies anymore. So we have that idea. And the 50s were really when the Saturday morning kid shows, or Saturday afternoon kid shows started going away because of television.
Yep.
They'd stopped doing the all-day, you know, short featurette, newsreel, cartoon, movie in a loop.
Yeah,
all days when
she, the 50s... she said earlier in the movie is that I'm only going to charge you 30 cents because you missed the
newsreel, you missed the featurette,
the mini featurette, but we've
already started the feature.
Yeah.
So there's that bit of nostalgia that we're talking about here. But he made the film so everybody's eyes. In tight close-up, everybody's eyes were lit.
Yep.
When it's dark,
everyone's eyes were
lit in these bars of light as they would have been done in the 50s.
Yeah, almost like the entire town was full of synthetic androids.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. If only they had a unicorn in there.
Yes.
It
all would have made sense.
Yep.
Right.
Because we should tie together movies that have nothing to do with each other.
I think we've just done that.
Oh, shit. Look at us go.
Okay, so there's that. The treatment of the the set or the areas that they're locations they're in as sets rather than locations.
Yes.
Like we're setting up, and it's all black and white, so it could be a screen, it could be a rear projection, it could be them actually driving out in the world.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, all these kinds of trick things that used to be used, or that were used in the 50s.
Yep.
Had kind of gone by the wayside a little bit in into the 60s, and now he's using those again, and it's effective because it's black and white, so you can't really tell
the difference,
you know,
which
in a lot of cases, sometimes you can. Although I would dare say that a lot more of this film was shot on location, even like the pool hall and stuff
I'd say so, yeah. Or, yeah, they built a town and they filmed it because they could do that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Oh, there was one... Okay, so there was one scene that was kind of weird. There's a side story in this film about the preacher's boy.
Yeah.
And... he's never really a main character, but if you know who he is, you can point to him in different scenes, and he's always kind of there. He's this flailing-armed kid running around the basketball court.
Who gets bullied.
He gets bullied by the coach. He, you know, nobody really pays attention to him or likes him.
Uh-huh.
When Boots Exposition talks about the will, he mentions that the preacher's kid got $1,000, and nobody knows why, and it's weird and kind of creepy. And then all of a sudden, in a little bit after that, the preacher's kid abducts a little girl.
Yeah.
And some guy just like bursts into the pool hall to talk to the sheriff and says, "They got little Nancy or whatever her name was."
Uh huh.
And she was last seen with the preacher's boy, and they got in their car, and they headed out of town. He was like, well, maybe he was just giving her a ride home. I'm like, no, couldn't possibly be that. Got to get a posse together. Let's go.
Yeah.
So all the men in the pool hall stand up and leave.
Yes.
Again, here comes some entertainment.
Yay!
They track the kid down. He's
sitting
on the side of the road. They pull up to him. They get the little girl out of the car.
And he's just sitting there.
And they keep saying after that nothing happened. But every time they say nothing happened, somebody says, well, you know that's not true.
Yeah.
You know. It's like, okay. And I'm not in any way trying to excuse that, you know, this might have been about a pedophile. You know, it's like it's a pedophile subplot that gets almost no attention at all. Everybody kind of brushes it aside. There's a friggin' lynch mob forming outside the jail because the doctor said nothing happened, but we know that can't be true.
Yep.
So there's that. That subplot goes nowhere, and JC uses that opportunity to hook up with Sonny, to use that as the impetus to get together with Sonny.
Yeah.
Which is like... conniving.
Yeah.
Manipulative.
Yes.
Terrible.
Evil. Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just this whole movie, it made me feel, I don't know, it didn't feel right, you know, this whole film is very much about, like, what actually went on in the 50s. I mean, this isn't, like, nostalgia, that kind of stuff, like, because they even showed a movie in the picture show of what life was supposed to be like or something.
Elizabeth Taylor film with Spencer Tracy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life with Father, I think, is the one.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. But that was a period film being shown to the audience in the, you know, so to show you, to get into that sort of mood of nostalgia. And they showed Red River.
Yes, they did.
As the last
picture show.
So, so for the last thing in this particular, I wanted to point out that there are a couple of things apparently that you can do in a small town in the early 50s.
Yes.
And that's just kind of a brief list.
Okay.
Have sex with as many people as you possibly can.
Yes, and everybody knows and nobody cares.
Relatively indiscriminately.
Uh-huh.
And occasionally go to Mexico.
Yes.
Right. Second thing. Barring sex, there's drinking.
Lots of it.
Barring drinking, you can scare up a heifer.
What?
Did you miss that?
I think I did.
When they're sitting around at the Christmas party, at the Suddenly Christmas party?
Yeah, the Suddenly Christmas party.
The guys are talking about, let's scare up a heifer. Because, and I quote, pussy's pussy.
Yep.
Get that all over your brain.
No, thank you. Oh, God.
They end up simply,
They hooked up with
Billy with Jimmy Sue.
Yes, the waitress at the drive-in diner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The only other restaurant in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Sue, who punches Billy in the nose.
I'm assuming because if
she
not,
did, she okay. she punched him or slapped him or something, but they bloodied his nose, and that brought down the wrath of Sam the Lion on the guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, on that happy note, if you've got questions or comments, please feel free to email us at 100ofsomething@gmail.com. That's 100ofsomething@gmail.com. You can hit me up on the Twitters at Mr. Bowen, and you can hit up Andrew at the Fro. That's @_Fro. As always, we would love to hear from you, and next week we will be reviewing, commenting on Quentin Tarantino's out of time, out of sync masterwork, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yes.
Woo!
Excited. Let's do it.